Hi, welcome to Man Walks Into the Rabbit Hole. This is Amitabh. Yesterday, a few friends of mine, as in three of us together, which is Shashwat, Deepti and I, we had a kind of a unplanned, unscripted chat on loneliness, right? What struck me as very unique about the chat was it was actually born out of a real felt problem, right? Rather than a conversation for the sake of meditation, which means we were not talking of it as a social phenomenon. We were talking of it as a personal phenomenon. Hope you find this chat fun and interesting. Do have a listen, and really what we were trying to do, just to put that one sentence out there, is probably to tell ourselves first, which means the three of us were trying to tell each other that we all seem to be in the same river, but broadly we were also not hoping, because we don't hope everyone is in the river, but we were also assuming that some people would see us describing our experience in the river to them, and they in turn could feel that the river which they see is not all that alien or unknown after all. That was really what we were trying to do. As I said before, just have a listen and see how this turns out. Thank you. The episode follows.
First question. Is the world a little more lonely in the last 2 years, Deepti?
I don't know about the world, but I think as I'm growing older, I feel more and more lonely. Sometimes very welcome, but sometimes I don't feel very understood. I think the older I'm growing, I feel lesser and lesser understood.
Should we be distinguishing between solitude and loneliness?
Yeah, solitude I welcome absolutely, and I need it and I want it. Loneliness, I don't.
And how do you decide that today you're lonely and today you're solitude?
Simple, right? I think solitude is when you want to be by yourself. Loneliness is when you want to be with somebody and you realize that there's nobody around. Suddenly
loneliness could also be that you are with somebody but you still
and
feel.
Yet you're right, and you are with somebody and yet you don't feel understood, so you don't feel like you're in the company you want to be, so it's a bit like that for me.
Shashwat, but last 2 years
I'm feeling very lonely today. I miss Abhijit on the chat. I have to represent Abhijit, he's my friend.
Yeah, he's not lonely.
But crime is missing. So,
I don't think Abhijit's quite lonely today.
That's okay.
We never know, actually. Yeah.
We never know that. Correct.
Yeah.
Shashwat, yes. Last 2 years feels more lonely or just similar as the rest of the last 10, 15 years?
Actually, I enjoyed loneliness in the earlier years. Let me put it that way. And
you had the job for it.
Yeah, I had. And I think the job brought about, so I didn't dislike it. It helped me grow as an individual and process thoughts and things like that. But I agree with Deepti about the aging factor leading to thoughts about loneliness. I mean, we're not that old, but still, it's never too old. We are never too old to talk about loneliness.
Just, just for the sake of audience, I'm 18.
Oh, that's going to help us have more subscribers, I'm sure.
Yeah. You might also get child labor, being accused of child labor.
18 completed. 18 complete. I'm eligible to work. I'm
eligible to marry also.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's not going to reduce any loneliness from whatever my friends have spoken to me. My married friends have told me that marriage doesn't make them any less lonelier.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, so again, do you enjoy loneliness or do you not? That's the whole thing, right? So I enjoy solitude as well as loneliness at times. That is, to me, it means different things. But yes, there is a very overwhelming and I would say a very uneasy part of loneliness as well, right? Which can be quite crushing. But it's waves, right? There are very, very few times that I do feel that way. But yes, I have gone through that. And I have seen friends go through this in especially during COVID.
And a bit of a digression, but at what point in your 18-year-old journey did you think deeply that you're growing old?
Especially from like my mid-teens. The
last 5 years. Yeah, so you started feeling old when you were 13.
Yeah, last 3 years actually. Since 16, it's becoming very tough, you know. Like, there are the girls in the class. They get like boyfriends. They have people. They can relate. And I feel like stuck. I don't know what to do.
But on a serious note, it is the last 3 years or is the last 5 years?
I think the last 5 years.
And why do you suddenly feel that in the last 5 years?
I don't know. There's some kind of shift that happened. Some kind of transformation, maybe. You know, suddenly those questions that kept coming up because of the stress of the work, the whole rush to, you know, run by this time, come back by this time, do this on this time. And if you're like off this well-constructed, intricate process of your daily life, even by like a second or a minute, let's say it was never seconds, but by a few minutes, right? It's like a wreck because many things keep falling apart. And it was just so stressful. One day I was like wondering why we do what we do and why do we deal with shit? Why do we hang out with people we don't like? Why can't we accept flaws in other people or in us? I don't know. Things like this started coming in. And slowly, I was like... But the more and more I cut down stress points, that I also realized that more and more people and conversations have reduced than I usually have. Now, I have very few friends. Like, for example, yesterday, I had a very, very difficult day. And by the time I came back to my resting place, home, yeah, hotel or whatever, I was traveling yesterday, I was very lost. Lost as in I was so, I have enough friends, right? But I just didn't feel like talking, and yet there is that gray area of do you want to talk or you don't want to talk kind of thing. So I think there've been a lot of moments like that in the past couple of years.
And Shashwat, for you also, it's been the last few years or it's been longer?
No, it's not that. I mean, for me, it's not in that way. I think there was something I read before. It's that, you know, loneliness is a part of, you know, a feeling of unbelonging or never fully, or, you know, like never being noticed kind of thing, right? I mean, you could be in the presence of people, right? So Deepthi mentioned, why do we hang out with people who we don't like or something? You could be extremely lonely among a lot of people as well, right? So it completely, to me at least, where I would take loneliness is that, have I felt that I didn't belong here? Or, you know, that you could be in a hall of people which you didn't see yourself be with. And that is loneliness to me. But I've had few instances. It's not something that's overwhelming. But what my friends have experienced with a breakup, 45, at the age of 45, not knowing what's next, you know, going on endless bike rides, looking for reason. I mean, I can feel that unloved, or, you know, the feeling of, you know, that there is nobody who's a part of their life, really. And that's what I meant when I was describing this.
And and so I felt, I realized two things, right? I realized that I felt older when I had a situation that I was not used to in life, which means something like a setback or something like that, right? And so I had a tough year in 16 and 17. And I think that's when I first realized age. Coincidentally, that was also my 39th and 40th year on this planet. But it just felt that the age was very apparent to me at that point. And coincidentally, it's really just a sheer coincidence, right? Because I was going through some challenges. I was always an introvert, so I became more of an introvert. So I began to look more inside rather than outside. And then the stupid spiral started, right? So you don't know now how to end it. So you become more and more insular, more and more isolated. And then you reach a point where I am today, where you are 45 and you probably do have a few good friends, but nothing like how life was probably in your 30s or something like that. So and I don't like, I'm not yet commenting on the loneliness bit, but yeah, age definitely hit around that time very hard. Diti, how does loneliness impact you? I mean, you did say about yesterday. So why wouldn't you pick up the phone and call up anybody you were close to, be it family, friends, or whoever else out there? Just curious, trying to understand. Diti?
I don't know, actually. I wasn't talking, I was just thinking. I actually don't know why. At that point in time, I probably felt a bit I don't know, this gray phase where I wanted to share and yet I wasn't sure. I was very unsure yesterday. And there are many days like that where I'm very unsure if I should just reach out, or if it's like too late in the night, or if it's just
So let's make this hypothetical and let's use the absent person in the room, right? So that it becomes easier for Shashwat and me
because we are no longer the counterparty. So if Abhijit is your best friend, what stops you from calling up Abhijit? Just genuinely trying to understand. Is it that Abhijit won't understand me? Is it, and Abhijit could be anybody. So it's just Abhijit is a placeholder, but you're just taking his name because he's not on the call.
I think it's just the time, no? I think it's a little inappropriate to reach out to people later in the night, generally for a chat or, you know, how or what they're up to.
But you to use WhatsApp. And I'm not making fun. I'm genuinely saying you to use WhatsApp. You could talk on WhatsApp also.
I do. I was not ready to talk, maybe. I don't know. It sounds very lame. I was actually very unsure if I wanted to talk or not. I don't think it's a lack of friends, which means after 10, I do reach out to a few folks and on WhatsApp and we do chat a bit and all. But I think that whole point of being, I think for me, the worry is the fear of being judged. I just get worried that people start giving feedback or people start saying, oh, you should have done like this or you should have acted in this way or I don't know, and I actually don't think I know completely of what goes on in people's minds, so I'm very unsure. And it also really is dependent on the kind of problem, right? If it's just a work thing, then you pick up the phone, you rant about it a little. And Abhijit, I've done that many times, in fact, the past couple of days. He would know it. I reached out to him like 2-3 times in the past. Saying I needed some help or whatever. But it also is dependent on the circumstance. And sorry, I know it's not helping much.
No, no, it did. And actually, before we go to Shashwat, just wanted to add, right? So one thing I realized, and this is related but not related. So it's related in a sly sort of way. One thing I realized through this gang of 3 or 4 of us, right, is that I have become acutely aware of the fact that my default mode at times is that of solutioning. I'm not a great listener, I'm a great observer. So I will keep a great observer to both narcissistic left, right? But I am a good observer, or I'm a better observer than I'm a listener. Sorry, that's the right English. I think I'm a terrible listener, and I realized it really on this pod. So it's been personally very helpful for me because, and especially I've realized that slowly, it's been a very slow journey of realization in the last 3-4 months. That my default mode everywhere, except at work, right? Because at work, I'm really trying to find out data points. In fact, at work, I'm extremely the other extreme. Like I'll ask 300 data points before I give my opinion. But in personal life, I've become a bit like a shooter, right? All the time in a sniper mode. Is that the question for you, Dipti, before we finally switch to Shashwat? The question for you is that something you see more and more in the world around you? Or the tendency to offer a fix?
Yes, right. I think impatience, restlessness, the hurry to come to a solution because you know,
when you're not actually seeking a solution.
No. So, not just that.
What I'm trying to add there is, I'm trying to say there must be at least, let's say, 5 out of 10 times when you're not even seeking a solution, but there is a impatience on the other side to give a solution.
Yeah, that's there. We're in a hurry to solve some things. But sometimes when I reach out, my expectations probably to dwell on the problem statement a lot more because I'm very confused when I have a set of things that are happening in my life. I never I don't have the ability to analyze, slice and dice it to at least form the problem statement. I'm like that even at work. It takes some time for me to actually frame the problem statement. There are like a lot of points, there are a lot of issues, there is noise from the trenches, and then you try and figure out all of this, and just to arrive at the problem statement, it takes some time for me. But once I am able to form that problem statement, solutions are an easier bit. I often think, in fact, this is what I miss in life. I often think that I don't have enough people who understand this.
And that obviously
it's not about whether
makes
it's
you,
right or
wrong. And that obviously makes you less, makes you feel less understood, and hence is related to this loneliness.
Yeah.
Shashwat, you heard everything. Is this similar in your observation or even experience?
I mean, there's a bit of a difference, I would say. See, I mean, everybody has setbacks, right? And I mean, having not failed for a very long time, right? I mean, possibly school was the last time where I had like kept my parents pretty active. So, and then you suddenly are used to, you know, confidence growing up, and then you do okay in college and at work and everything. And then suddenly you become cocky enough to start up on your own or some shit like that. And then you get hit by one wham, right? And then you look around, there's nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
I, as a person, if I were to describe my past years, I would keep to myself. I have very few friends, and I like to stick to that small circle. I can be extremely boisterous with a whole bunch if I'm in a group, but as a person, who do I like to be with is with a very small group of people. Close friends who I would interact with. And if I didn't see them for months together, also, it wouldn't matter. It's like that. I mean, I think that way I'm a little antisocial also. But
antisocial nahi hai. Asocial hai bolo.
No, I was antisocial. I didn't like too much of...
Home minister sun rahe.
Oh, antisocial. I was like a bully. Proper, like, Asia. So... So I really struggled. I mean, I think in this whole path, right, if you didn't make good enough friends or identify people while you were growing up who you could actually talk to, like, that's why I was listening to what Amitabh said. I think that who could you pour your soul and heart out to? Right? And that's when you realize ki, that is possibly when you can actually feel alone. If you didn't have anybody. So, marriage ab fati.
Or kab fati, matlab when did this happen? Are, by time? Like,
yeah.
Like 10 years ago, 5 years ago?
No. 3-4 saal pehle. I mean, it hurt as much as a breakup, I think. At that point, it was really painful, but you couldn't speak about it, couldn't do shit about it, and you had to move on. So the routine takes you out of these things, right? So I don't know if any of you have read Sylvia Plath.
I have read Sylvia Plath.
Yeah. So there's this thing that she would talk about is like...
The bell jar.
I don't remember. I think it was more from her journal, where she says, she comes back after some Thanksgiving thing with her family, and she says, yes, we all can have those faces and, you know, keep up those appearances. But then deep inside, when, you know, the world closes, you're just by yourself. And that's that there's nobody else around you. And that's that loneliness which she was trying to fight through through her journey, and she had a pretty troubled life as such, tough love and everything. So for me, I think I realized I felt extremely lonely at one point. I could have picked up the phone and spoken to somebody, but then I didn't, which made me
spiral.
And so for me, the thing is, my reaction to shit like this is go sleep, take the longest sleep ever. Anyway, it's like, you know, shit has hit the fan. It can't get any worse than this. So, so yeah, baad mein sab ko chutti de diya. And I was like,
it is the human version of the ostrich, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we'll deal with it. No, and then, you know, it's my own mechanism, right? So everybody has their own construct. You have your own way of figuring out.
It looks like a common mechanism. I can relate to this mechanism.
Yeah. जब पहली बार फटी तो बहुत दुख लगा, दूसरी बार फटी तो बुरा लगा, but by the fourth time it happened, then you realize कि shit, is there something really wrong with me, you know? And वो जो चौथी बार फटी तो एकदम भयंकर, it was a big one. So it made me question a lot of things. But then what actually helped me, I mean, if I look at it, is that there was a, we are all a personality type, right? I think if you believe in this Wunderlich or any of these kind of
media.
Yeah, it tells you a lot about you, and it tells you what are your weaknesses. And if you say that this is the reason why I'm being bothered by this, right? I mean, these are all artificial mechanisms, right? But it just tells you, okay, you know, maybe I should watch the Kardashians or some shit like that. Or seriously, that's, I mean, now I'm a different level of shamelessness, to be honest.
So your recommendation is, when you're in a spiral, watch Kardashians.
Absolutely. It's highly recommended, because that's the best switch off, right? If that shit can fly. I mean, my earliest job, I remember my senior most boss, right? I was like, if this guy can run a ship, I definitely can. There's no need for me to be scared, right? I mean, like, that's the confidence measure that I had. But I think loneliness as a thing, being alone is different and loneliness is different, right? Choosing to be alone is different. Feeling lonely is different. And loneliness is felt when you have no one to share, I think.
Yeah.
And nobody feels what you're feeling. They may be all around, but nobody can help you also at that point. Even if they see you. Because you have your own, kya kehte hain, your own defense mechanisms also on being guarded, not talking about it. People can't read your minds, and they don't know what all you're going through. And the way you are perceiving this setback or your feelings generally.
And why do we do that? I mean, look, I can relate to it. So I'm not even saying, oh, that's a surprise. In fact, I can completely relate to that. I not only shut down, but I also look deeply inward. Right. So I usually then. And I don't know, again, I think we spoke in some previous episode or some previous conversation, right? For me, that's a coping mechanism. I try and not just as a rationalization, I genuinely try and remove everyone from the equation. So I take everyone out of the story, except for me. And then I say, what could I have done different, or what is the what is the learning for me, or what is the outcome for me that I need to replan or reprogram into my head. Sometimes that can be a very long process. So sometimes months, sometimes years. And what tends to happen is, for observers who are observing you, it looks like you have become a closed system, which you have. Like in my case, I do tend to get into some of those ruts sometimes. Yeah. And just curious, what is our... And that absolutely is still related to this loneliness chat, right? Because it just exacerbates the problem, right? Because the problem goes from state A to state 3A or 5A, from X to 5X, because you yourself are fueling the fire now by making it weirder and weirder for anybody to try and contribute, because they are also now worried whether they are encroaching into your personal space and all of those other things. So again, any order. Actually, let's go with Shashwat only. Shashwat, why do you think that happens, and has that happened with you, where you've shut people off in a polite way? I mean, I don't mean like you banged the door on them, but you're basically not shared, not told them.
See, again, personality types. Since I have spent a great deal of my life alone to start with, I've always had to figure out my solutions. So I have shut people out. I think one or two times there was an expectation that people would understand that from my behavior that something is not wrong. Something is wrong. But, you know, it's like a wish, but still letting people in would be a very, very tough thing, right? There is that false ego thing that I have to figure this out by myself, or others will not be able to understand this. Two. Three is, I don't have anybody to talk to. And the third one, because you will say like, okay, it's like your hot list, right, on your phone. It's like, who could I call for this? A, B, C, D, E, who? Or if I call this person, they're going to start giving me solutions. If I call this person, they're probably going to be busy with their family. Or that person's probably on a holiday. You know, who is that go-to person ultimately? And see, the thing is, in this whole process, we forget what the actual problem is, right? Okay. What could have just been a professional or technical or any of these issues suddenly becomes a bigger, deeper personal issue about how we are handling that, right? It's a setback. Setback hota hai. When I was in school, when I nearly flunked my class and all that stuff, I used to come home grinning. I even forged my mom's signature. I mean, I used to go to my brother for forging it. I've done shit like that. Today, with the same shit, and that the whole world will come to know, right? Today, when your problems happen, you realize it's happening in the world, which is so open, it's so global and everything. Everybody knows, but still nobody knows. It's like, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a very insightful point to make. Like, yeah, you can see it, but you don't know whether... It's a bit like, if I were to use a stupid metaphor, wo India mein road pe accident dekha to log kya karte? They just drive past.
Yeah.
Because they almost assume maine dekha hi nahi.
Yeah.
And but hai wo, matlab wo hua hai, aapko dikha hai, aapne assimilate kiya hai, but you might still drive past. Very insightful, actually. I mean a very good way of putting that example. Deepthi?
No, I actually don't I don't think I shut people out. I don't think there are any, first of all, for me to pick up the phone and talk to also.
You should ask us that question.
Huh?
You should ask us that question. You don't think so. Sorry, I'm joking.
Sorry, I actually didn't understand. What did
you
say?
I said, you cannot say I don't shut people off, right? You have to ask people. Like there are two people in the room. You can ask them, do I shut you off? No, go on. Sorry, I was joking.
No, but I actually have a lot of ego. I don't like admitting that I have problems. That false sense of ego comes from this whole conditioning that as a kid, you're supposed to solve most of your problems. You should contain yourself within yourself and things like that. So I don't like admitting that I have problems. And it's a sense of a failure for me. Like personally, in my own eyes, I don't like admitting that I'm helpless. So it's not about me cutting people, but I don't think I like talking about problems. And when it means that I have to talk, it means that I'm in a very helpless state. And I don't like that feeling a lot. And it comes with a lot of vulnerability. Then I don't know how I'll react and how I'll express, how I communicate, what the other person have to say. And it comes with a lot of control because I also am a very... And because I like solving my own problems most of the times, I have expectations on how a conversation should happen. It's never a free will or a conversation that's not planned, which means when I go for help ever, which is very rare, but when I do, I have very strong expectations on how it should be.
So why? So two things, right? And I'm asking. So first is my own thing, and I'm asking both of you, right? So I have this strange thing, right? I can admit very easily that I'm in a mess. Like at any given point, I can very easily admit I'm in a mess. What I will struggle is defining the mess.
You're what? Sorry?
I said at any given point, I can very easily admit to the fact that I'm in a mess. I don't struggle with that. Yeah. And I can probably say high level also what that mess is. So I can say I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, or something like that. What I struggle is to define it. And the reason I struggle to define it is because, at least this is my stupid rationalization, that I feel there are many times when I myself have not cleared up the version in my head, saying what really happened, why did it happen, who spoke to whom, who beat up whom, and whatever are the other transactional issues with that incident, right? And if it's a slow incident which has worked out over 2-3 years, it is even more miserable, right? So let's say over 2-3 years something has gone wrong, it's very miserable because now you cannot, like, if it's a
retrace your steps, yeah
it's very hard to. So I was, so first question was, am I just fooling myself and probably my friends by admitting to being a mess but not sharing anymore? And second, this was more for you, right, Dipti? I understand that you were saying that when you are in a troubled situation, like you said something yesterday, you didn't exactly explain what, but let's assume you just wanted to have a chat. Maybe it was something difficult about work. Let's assume simple conversation. How hard is it for you to call up, let's say, person A, person B, person C, and say, look, listen to me for 10 minutes, and then I will ask you 6 questions, you answer those questions. Is that a very hard thing to do? Because looks like in your case, you're not struggling to define the problem. You're struggling more from what you think is a lack of perceived understanding. So why can't you do this? Let's take the simplest example, right? You trust your dad. I don't know whether you can talk work with dad, but let's say you can. So you call up your dad, you say, look, I don't want solutions for 10 minutes. Listen to me peacefully for 10 minutes. I am going to ask you 6 questions or 8 questions. And for each of those questions, you will give me as subjective an answer as you want. That way you can control the chat and the outcome and still get what you want, and probably what really helps you on that day is that. So there were two parts. Part one was, I think, more for you to judge whether I'm being an idiot. And second, part two was to really say, why can't you try this strategy if that can work at all?
No, it's a good idea, but it's just that I don't know if I'll have the ability to do that. So it's like so the first barrier here is to pick up the phone and talk, right? The second is to structure the chat. I think.
But how hard is it to tell your dad, yeah, but 10 minutes suno mat, 10 minute bolo mat. Wo to anybody will do, no? Anybody who likes you and cares for you will say, haan, theek hai, you have told me 10 minutes, no talking, I am just listening. Keep going, keep going, keep going.
Try that with my dad.
No, I'm saying maybe dad is the wrong example. I don't know
your case. No, I'm just giving.
But, no, I understood, Shashi. But I'm saying whoever, I'm sure there are one or two or three people in your life who you can do this with, Dipti. And the only reason I'm suggesting it is because I'm saying you seem to be in a far more meaningful place, right? You know the problem, you roughly know what inputs you need. It is just that you feel people will not understand you. Hence, I'm asking, will this something like this work?
Can I?
Yeah, Shashwat, go on.
I mean, I don't know if I'm being right about this or if I'm speaking for Deepthi here. I think possibly the fear of being judged would be a big underlying factor in this, because not every feeling or every, you mentioned a mess, right? You can't talk about this mess. You have different types of messes again, right?
Yeah.
And you can't talk about every type of mess with everybody.
Correct.
So this actually connects with our chat, which started off that it's easier talking to strangers.
Yeah.
which went into Mehboob Mere. But yes,
and is doing very well, by the way. Still, it's hitting all the parts.
I know. No, but what I mean is, the thing is, we know that people are judgmental, right? And the moment you say something, you'll be judged by that for rest of your lives or of your association with them. So you want to hold on to that thing, saying that, do I really want to talk about it? Maybe that's a factor. There are some problems which I would, you know, the problems which you're not talking about, they stay in your head throughout the day, throughout the next day, the week after, and they just go on and on and on.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I absolutely agree with you on that. You just carry them
every day,
every single day.
Every day it's on your shoulder, you take it to there, and every time you're not doing your routine, it comes back to you in your mind. And
and you don't know what to do about it.
Yep.
It's there, it won't go away.
It's like figuring out your cash flow problems. Which can be solved arithmetically. It's as good as call a friend. But then, do you do it? Do you not? Is the question. Anyway, it's not related. It's a small startup, so we have to think about these things all the time. Sorry.
I think it's a very difficult place for people to be. I think modern world, in fact. No, actually world generally. The time I grew up, I don't know if it's modern or whatever era it was. It was that era. But I think putting in one's vulnerabilities and trusting generally is a very difficult thing for me personally. It doesn't come very easy.
And that could be because of your past experiences again, right?
Yeah, I think it's fear of judgment more often than not. It it is usually fear of judgment. I know a lot of people, in fact, I have to admit, right, it's a very weird place to be. I used to have a lot of friends, and I used to have a lot of friends who cry, who explain, who talk about their problems, and, you know, the equation is very strange. So these friends, I've never opened up, I've never shared. So these are the set of friends who come to you and they keep talking, and we keep talking, we keep hanging out, we do all of that. But there is a very strong sense of, okay, I am the wall here. And this person always talks about their problems, and you're always there for them. And in front of such people, you try and even like open up 1% of your vulnerability, it becomes incredibly hard, because they will never accept, first of all, that you can have such a vulnerability. And I just realized that choice of my friends, till about a couple of years back, the equations were set, and it was like this most of the times. I don't know.
But this also is an interesting thing, right? When you put yourself in the other person's shoes, would you be the person that a friend could call and talk about their problems? How do you react? Right? I'm just flipping this question over, right? How do we react, actually? I mean, let me ask Amitabh this question.
Sorry, Shashwat. So what is the question?
I was listening.
I'm just saying, yeah. What is the question?
No, what I'm saying is that it's not you who has a challenge right now, and that is somebody who reaches out to you and says, hey, I need 10 minutes and I want you to listen. And how do we normally react when people expose their vulnerabilities, right? If I were to ask you, what goes through your mind? Big emotional problem comes to through your phone call from a friend.
So and that's what I was giving credit or whatever. I was trying to tell what my journey in the last 3-4 months has been. Right? My default state is to, and I'm not saying it's right. In fact, I probably realized it's completely wrong, right? Or it is at least partially wrong. But my default state is to get into it fully, right? I have these conversations with people I care about, people I care deeply about, and my default response first is, look, quite literally, I am in, which means now I am part of your space. Now, the challenge of that response is that what I at least learned, or I'm beginning to at least reconsider, is that it can be so easily construed / misconstrued as a lack of listening. It can also be very easily misunderstood by me that I probably am thinking of this as a situation where you or the other person is struggling, versus the other person might at least that point feel that they don't want to, first of all, even admit they're struggling. So that's the one big learning I had in the last 3 months on this pod, that maybe I don't need to roll up my sleeves that quickly.
Offer a solution.
No, I think it's not just offer a solution. So I've realized I've been observing myself very closely for the last 3 months, and observing what I say and sometimes just observing what I think. And what I've come to a conclusion is there are, to be fair, and maybe this is just me observing myself,
I actually think 50 to 75% of the time I don't get into solution mode. But I get into that mode very easily where I say, look, I am in this game or I am in this situation. So let's stop. Let's keep talking. Let's keep talking. Let's keep talking. We'll solve this. And I now begin to realize that that also might be a problem. And so I've tried to do less of that. But again, that's not a topic for today's pod. But I struggle because my genuine self is to just, or my genuine reaction, my hardwired reaction is to just say, ki, are, tum mere liye bahut precious hai, ya tum. Like if my son says, like 2 days pehle kuch baat kar raha tha, right? He's struggling with something. So he was talking to me. My first reaction was I was in the middle of a call and he actually interrupted me. And I told him, give me 2 minutes. I postponed the call and I went and sat with him. Told him, what are you, what happened? And then he started giving me some story, whatever, long story. But what I observed there, I obviously didn't get into solution mode. Or I think I didn't get into solution mode. But I got into this mode where I explicitly or implicitly showed him ki main isme hai because maine meetings cancel kar diya. Next 1 ghante ka maine calendar khali kar liya. Bula apan saath mein chai peete hain. To hum log chai peete peete kuch baat kar rahe the. That is the point where I am, and I know probably a little off the topic, which means off the loneliness topic, but yeah, it is something I have been introspecting a lot in the last 3 months. I don't know, it makes me feel a little confused about what is the right response, but I've at least learned that maybe not everything I do is correct. So I need to at least realize or understand what is.
I like that modern slang called asshole. Sorry.
I haven't heard this. What is it called? Asshole.
Yeah, asshole. So basically people ask and they want you to hear. They sometimes want a solution and then they go do the exact opposite. And then you're wondering, like, why did you even offer a solution? Or why, what was the whole purpose of the conversation that they had with you, right? But then, again, I want to hear Deepthi's side. As a listener to somebody who comes up with a challenge, how do you react? Somebody comes up with an emotional thing. Maybe they are feeling lonely and they call you up.
Sorry, I was on mute. I said, I have a lot of 2 a.m. people, right? Literally, like my phone's usually alive. I have friends in Singapore or I have friends in the US who call and talk to me around later in the evening, the night, in the morning. I don't know. There are many people, in fact, who pick up the phone and talk to me. I don't talk much. I just listen to them. I joke about a few things. They laugh and we chat a bit. But that's pretty much it. I have like about 5 or 6 people who do this regularly with me. That's all. I, in fact, don't meet people much. Another time and age, maybe about 2-3 years back, I used to, in fact, have these... Like Wednesday, I would hang out with somebody. Friday, I used to have a hangout with someone. Like I had a timetable running for me, not like a social calendar, but I had these weekly ones. I'd meet this person because he or she would want to talk about their week, some work, some personal space, going through divorce, some going through, you know, a breakup or some going through work mess. Yeah, at a point in time. But point is, like, it's not like I can pick up the phone and talk to them, but I just can't because I realized that the equation was never in a place where I was ever putting across my vulnerabilities there. which means the person's defenses were always down when they would talk to me, but I would be this person who would never let defenses off when I'm talking to them. And humor is like my biggest, you know, it's always my back pocket.
Yeah, but somebody who doesn't share their vulnerability also, right? Does that make, like for me as a thing, if somebody else who's listening doesn't share anything at all, would that make me feel more confident, find confidence in them? Or would I feel that, oh, you know, I'm being judged here because this person doesn't seem to have any other problem. I'm the only one who's got a problem.
No, exactly. So for me to talk, that's the problem. This is exactly the problem. So for me, when I talk to somebody, and I have like a friend or two who I used to talk earlier, right? The challenge was this, exactly this, because I talk and the other person would not have. And I would be like, okay, you don't understand, or you just don't have any problems, or what's the deal? See, because of the friends who open up to me, right? While I may not let out vulnerabilities, I would still be engaged with them, like in a lot of levels. I still joke. I'd still like bring out some anecdotes from the past where, you know, I would have been an idiot or a fool or whatever. Use humor as a tool, but would still be engaging enough. It's just that I am not comfortable to talk to them about a lot of things. But with people who I choose to talk, right, when they don't talk, it's a big problem. It's a very big problem. Like I trip left, right, and center. I go with I actually go saying, okay, I'm going to talk about this and this today. I make like this whole effort, and then I go, and then I realize that, okay, this person is not okay. There's no point. I'm going to wrap it all inside and go away. As it is, like I have a huge ego, and add to this, you put a trip like this, I'm like, no, I'm not going to talk.
This is interesting because you're bringing out two very clear facets, right? You, the listener, and when you need to go to somebody. But it's interesting that your friends who come to you with their problems continue to talk to you and they don't back off.
They continue to talk. They continue to call me at 2 a.m. We continue to fight about small things where, you know, I mean, they'll have things to say and I have things to say. We constantly squabble. We are like, as I said, we're engaged. Like we fight, we joke, we laugh around, wish for whatever, birthdays and gifts and stuff like that. They all happen. But
I sometimes think where I mean, this is a little movie-ish. If you remember, there was this in the church, they have this confession box, right?
Yeah.
Where you walk in and you talk. And you talk and you talk, and after that somebody tells you something, you know, and then your sins are free or some shit like that. I've always found that to be a very interesting thing, that you could just go into a box, come back feeling lighter.
Yeah, I miss it. Like I actually think that's what I want. I want somebody to tell me that, look, there's nothing wrong, it's okay, this shit happens, and you're like, okay.
And you wouldn't judge, because see, you know that the guy who's sitting across the curtain in the box is somebody that he's a stranger, he's a pastor, whatever, and he's not going to tell you his problems for sure, and he doesn't need to, but you just end up feeling a lot lighter, right?
Totally.
Is this different digitally, or the digital and the real world are just one container?
So I think we've all become very guarded, right? It's like,
yeah,
if I am going to let go of my vulnerability, this is going to have an impact on me somewhere, somehow. People are going to judge me. Shit. Is this person really, how is he running this shit? Or, how this person, you know, you're going to be judged in some way or the other, right? And you don't know who is going to do what with that information.
Absolutely.
So I think that makes it very difficult. Then you have absolute old buddies who you grew up from school with. Who you were vagabonds with when you were in school or some shit like that. Koi halwai hoga, koi kuch bhi hoga, it doesn't matter. Some of them you could always connect and talk to. Or I don't know. I myself am preparing myself to have conversations actually. I find it very difficult to talk. I must confess. I'm not the first person to, while I'm coming back to loneliness. One side is you feel you don't have anybody. And the second time, it's not that you don't have anybody. It's just that
you're not ready to talk.
You're not ready to talk.
I absolutely know what you're saying. Like this, and look, to be fair, right, there were opportunities, and I do have friends who I've had like fortune to have some conversations with them. But this is like, you know, skirting around the real issue. You keep talking about circumstances, you keep talking about examples, but it's never like, look, I am feeling very scared about this. You know, I'm not comfortable doing this, or, you know, I feel like I fucked this up. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, but it's there in your subconscious. It's there in your subconscious. It is going to come out, and it's going to come out either in a controlled way in a dialogue, yeah, or it's going to come out in bits and pieces and not give you a solution.
It'll only come bits and pieces in my case. And that's why the other person who's probably listening to me has to be intellectually so sharp that he or she has to have the ability to pick up pieces and, you know, try and form a story which is probably the same as what I want to say.
So that's why you have so many people who would write, my friend has this problem, right?
Yeah.
They would never say that.
Yes, they'll never say, I have this problem. Dear God.
I'm fascinated by, psychologists and books. Some of the stuff that I've read, at least. And finding your inner core, I think, I don't know. The Buddhist here could shed more light on that. But that finding that core, there's that thing about who we become is who we love, actually. The routine, I find work as the biggest distraction which takes me away from.
Same for me. Work is a very big distraction for me. It's in a nice way. In fact, I welcome it. Distraction for me.
Alcohol?
Amitabh, were you saying something?
Alcohol?
He said alcohol. Does that.
I don't like leaning on things here, but I do enjoy a drink and as well. But I mean, those are elevators for me. It's not something which is helping me not sink. I mean,
Sorry, go on.
No, I've seen a lot of people who, when they get stressed, tend to smoke more or drink alcohol. And I think that's a completely different reaction, and it's, even though it makes you feel a little better temporarily, it's not helping. Nothing external can help you in these things.
I was just saying, the joy of actually feeling that there is somebody who you can share things with. I've experienced it maybe 2 times in my life where I could like talk about vulnerabilities and, you know, talk about what's bothering. And both the times if ever somebody had asked me what's my happiest moment or something like that, is when your vulnerabilities are out there and you know that the other person's not judging. And it's there. It's a very fulfilling, it's a very fulfilling moment in itself. I mean, I've gratitude that I've at least done it like once or twice, but it's very nice. it's incredibly hard to do it, but when you do it, it's really, really nice.
I think when I was younger, it was easier to talk about stuff than now.
But I agree. Again, it's this age thing. That's why I started with the point where I said, like, when you're growing older, it's just becoming more and more difficult to feel lesser and lesser in company.
You did, I mean, Amitabh and you both blog. I mean, but good old days, I used to write a diary. When you're,
I have yours, yearbooks. Yeah. I have your books.
It's amazing what our thoughts and insecurities and, you know, were back then and now where we are.
No, more importantly, this whole, you know, I get very annoyed that the way we're structured in society is also that we should be self-contained most of the times, that you're supposed to solve your own problems. You should be by yourself or whatever, right? You should be independent. In all of this, nobody tells us that it's okay to be vulnerable. Nobody tells that it's okay to have weaknesses. It's normal for everyone to have insecurities. Fears are like everyday thing. That some of them are very simple, that you just bring them out and probably they're gone. Some of them may be more complicated and some of them may need more chats or whatever, right? But we just don't tell this enough. I have many men friends who cry and it's okay. I don't know why it's so weird. Like for a lot of people, it's
yeah, but okay. So, I mean, I would not like to put myself as a case for a podcast, but in the sense that there's this book, right? I'm okay, you're okay, I don't know. I find that interesting. Also, everybody says I'm fine. Are they? Are they not? How many people want to deal with... See, the thing is, the world is going at such a high speed. Everything becomes transactional, right? Self-contained thing is like, how much negativity can you deal with? Or how much of... if you work in a call center and every day all you hear is people abusing... Like, I had a friend who worked 6 to 8 months at an Apple center. And she would tell me that it was the worst mistake professionally ever, because it kind of, you're talking about the most expensive product in this segment, right? But the people it brought over the phone and who walked into the store in Singapore was so nasty. So nasty. And you're just dealing with everybody's grievance over grievance over grievance, right? If you're an engineer on the field, you're solving somebody else. You're solving problems throughout the day. You're a doctor. Everybody comes with their problems to you, right? So how much more space is available to patiently listen to... if it's a one-off thing, people will listen. But if you're repeatedly needing that help, right? That person is possibly not going to listen or is going to avoid you. That happens. Because they possibly don't have that bandwidth themselves, right? Like, I can't deal with it. Like, somebody with, I had a friend with bipolar and he would talk to me for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, yes.
And it's a disorder, I understand. But this person is very, very, is a very important person in my life. And I would have to listen. It didn't matter. I was like, up my startup, you know, I'll deal with stuff later. To a very extreme extent, the longest conversation was 6.5 hours. That's an entire work day, right? Out there. And sometimes they go through this, but I'm not a therapist. I can be there as a friend, but I'm not a therapist. So the kind of problem, is it a short, is it a quick thing? I think all of those are also factors, right? And what is the other person? What kind of mental space are they in? You yourself are in the pits. Somebody comes with more of them, like, aaja barat mein.
That's true.
We are almost above an hour.
Oh, wow.
Quick thing. So, loneliness. What? We should probably do a follow-up in a few weeks on this. Part two, part three, whatever. But quick question, really quick. Way ahead for you personally in this world. But we spoke about how the world is slowly crumbling around us or around you or around each of us. Right? But what is your recommendation, strategy, suggestion, personal hack, whatever, coping mechanism? I know that's not a good word, but what is your set of things that you are thinking of doing?
I don't have a solution. I think I just have to wait for a few more, I don't know, some amount of time for me to at least fix what the problem is. So why is it so difficult, as an example, for me to talk, my ego and the other issues that I battle with? I don't have easy answers, actually.
No, but what do you do? Like, what do you do on an average day to deal with these modern urban challenges or whatever, modern challenges? I won't say urban challenges.
So pre-COVID, the theaters were around. I used to go catch a movie.
So you have those pick-me-ups, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The distractions.
Yeah, the distraction. So movie was a great distraction for me because it's like another world, darkness. There's just one screen. You don't have to like subscribe to the theater, the movie that's playing. You get something to eat and you're generally in a safe climate, weather or whatever. You're in a safe surroundings because it's a hall and, you know,
you're comfortable.
You're comfortable. So you could switch off, you could switch on at will. And it was a very nice distraction for me. Now I struggle with it because I don't have that option anymore. I don't. So I used to write a bit. I don't have the will to write also because at some point I know that nobody reads. It's not about it, but I know like there is hardly one or two people who read. Because you also write sometimes because you want people to listen, right? And that's why most of us write. You write because you want people to read something. But you write it and then after that, I don't even like edit. In my case, I don't edit a draft ever. So there are like lots of grammar, spelling, whatever. I just write it, I dump it and I leave it. I've got no respect for what I write. Absolutely. But I write it because at least the... You know, the process sets me a bit freer than what I was. It's like one layer gone because you're trying to communicate or express or whatever. I travel buckets and I travel because I need the distraction. I need the escape. I need the movement, the logistics and the operations usually put me in that pace and the grind takes over. So,
and Shashwat, your mechanisms, your suggestions, recommendations, coping mechanisms.
If I were to talk to my younger self, I would say that find and make those friends. You know, it's not to my younger self. The reason why I say younger self is I would have made it a lot easier for myself. Right? Because these things end up manifesting into various other problems later. Identifying that this thing, this loneliness is becoming a bother, when does it start affecting a lot of your social life, right? I want people to say that it's perfectly fine going to a therapist, talking to somebody. You pay money to somebody to listen, but you have some very, very good counselors who are very good at this. They may be doing something else, whatever, but they're not going to give you solutions. They're not going to, but they will encourage you to do certain things. So there's nothing wrong in it. There was a big taboo around it for years together. And I feel that a lot of people who later, I can't say for sure scientifically that their problems got exacerbated because of that or things like that. But things that you were not able to resolve tend to become these large avalanches later, sometimes. In the past, cricket used to be a big pick-me-up. I mean, the thought that there's a cricket match tomorrow would excite me and would take me off. The distraction, right? Movies, I could watch two movies back to back. Unfortunately, today I can't sit through a movie anymore. And this has happened during COVID. I couldn't watch. For the last 2 years, I haven't been able to watch any movie on my laptop in one day. I mean, like, I switch off. I love movies. And, you know, if I could, somebody would play the first few minutes of a movie, I could tell the story if I watched it 30 years back. It was something like that. So I can see that. I'm still finding new measures now that the old measures aren't working. Work in progress.
Okay.
Amitav?
Sorry, what was the question?
You were silent. Your turn to speak.
Ah, sorry. My mechanism is very strange, right? And it's actually not a mechanism at all. It is just stupidity in my view. But I tend to go inwards. I tend to read a lot. I incessantly drink coffee. And probably...
Use the bathroom.
What?
And use the loo after that.
Coffee is a diuretic, is it?
Yep.
नहीं मेरे को नहीं हो रहा ऐसा कुछ साइड इफेक्ट अभी तक तो नहीं हो रहा
तो कॉफी के साथ थोड़ा पानी भी पी लो
हाँ वो सब पीते कॉफी पीते पानी पीते एंड
ऐसे क्या सुस्त ही आता है इतना पानी और इतना कॉफी
या आई थिंक दैट्स रियली इट वेरी स्टुपिड सो आई रीड अ लॉट सो आई गो वेरी डीप इनटू fairly serious reading, fairly difficult, serious reading. And which I anyway do, but sometimes I also read a lot of light stuff. But when I'm not in a great state, it's usually the heavy, difficult stuff which will come out. The advantage of carrying a Kindle is you can choose your books on your day. And I think and I become the other extreme, right? So I become completely silent. Like I go completely, completely silent. Like there'll be days and weeks where I will not talk anything. I mean, I'll talk about work, I'll talk at work, but that's about it. Like
I won't probably say a sentence on any topic. Yeah. Not a good mechanism, I agree. I mean, it's not a mechanism at all. It's just a behavior pattern that I've observed. I don't think it's a mechanism. So the honest answer is I don't have a mechanism. And I also get very existential at these points. Like, I have other, I won't say challenges, but other circumstances, and they all end up mixing up in my head, and then weird ho jata. But that's about it. I mean, nothing really, no real mechanism. Like, I wish I was an expert in this and I could say I will do this. So, I don't. I had a few more questions, but we won't get into that now, given the time, and we should do a part two. But any final closing remarks, Dikti? Anything to say?
No, I think we should do a part two soon.
Okay.
I think there is a very important part of this is the role of family around us or relationships that we have taken up, or how do they have to react to this, or are they going through this as well? I mean, that could all come in part two, in this, of course, right? What we are going through, there are many others going through this. So that's where I feel that, you know, that looking at the stars or looking at a pebble, you realize sometimes my mechanism is that, you know, all this is insignificant, move on. But that's brushing it off. I think I do see a similarity with what Amitabh does, but it's not books. I read a lot of articles, and this week I'm officially done with this subject, and I'll share something else after that.
Okay. I think I don't have any closing notes. I would just say, look, whoever is listening, keep faith that at least there are 2-3 other people who are in the same boat, which is us.
Yeah, two men and a goat.
Two men and a goat who are in the same boat.
Don't forget the third man.
No, I think he might be in a better boat.
we'll find out.
Yeah. Is my hope for him that he's in a better boat. But yeah, that's about it. It's a wrap. Let me just stop recording. I don't know how to do this.
Red wala button dabao.